this evening's service, persevere because of you. You who stayed on after the morning service to attend this evening meeting, I applaud your faithfulness. We thank God that once in a while, we do have people who walk in for the evening meeting. There's no hiding to the fact that the number is small. So when a visitor walks into the sanctuary, how and what do we want them to experience in their first visit? Now this is important. Whether or not they will come back again depends largely on their first experience. I had once a very good experience when visiting a church in Virginia. I earlier phoned the pastor to say that I'll be visiting on Sunday. He knew that I'm a Chinese. That morning in church, a Chinese couple was there early to welcome us. That is my wife and I. They were our host till we left the church. Everyone we met were friendly, and we talk. It's great in seeing the warm-heartedness of the people. Now this is a church we definitely want to visit again. What I'm trying to say is this, that we should do our part to make our visitors feel welcome. We are truly delighted with the presence of newcomers. So every one of us have a part to make them feel welcomed. I hope we do that. Now, I told you last week that I'll be preaching a series of messages on the kind of church we ought to be. And this evening, I'm speaking on the topic, be a church that loves one another. Now, some weeks ago, I preached to you on the greatest commandment. We are commanded to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. Jesus calls this the first and the greatest commandment. Then he added the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, why are they called the first and the second commandment? Are there not 10 commandments? Now, the reason is these two commandments are the 10 commandments in concise form. The first 4 of the 10 commandments are summarized in this commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. We all know the first of the 10 commandments. Beside me, thou shalt have no other gods. So we are to worship one and only God, the true Jehovah God. Now, Jesus calls this the first and the great commandment because it has to do with our relationship with Him. And then, the first commandment is followed by the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But I want to read the whole of that verse found in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. Here the Lord Jesus says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, why did Jesus say that the second is like unto it? He is telling us that the first and the second commandment have a common thread. I believe the commonality is that they are related to the 10 commandments. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40, the Lord tells us the relationship. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, in the Old Testament, when you see the law and the prophets, it refers to the 10 commandments. So Jesus says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, I told you previously that Jesus is used to quoting the Old Testament scripture in replying to questions posed to him. In the first commandment, when he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength and mind, he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And the exact word is found in that scripture text in the Old Testament. And the second commandment is quoted from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Please kindly turn to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. It reads, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So you see, the Lord Jesus quoted verbatim from the Old Testament. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, Paul also says that the 6th to the 10th commandment of Moses are summarized into this one command, to love others as thyself. Please turn to Romans chapter 13, which is our scripture text this evening. Romans chapter 13. And we'll be looking at verses 8 to 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, Paul states it very clearly that the summary of the 6th to the 10th commandment of Moses, it is in this one statement. That is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 8, Paul says, owe no man anything. Alright, this is a very practical teaching. Do not owe any man anything. If you have borrowed something, return it to the person you borrowed from. Okay. And then he says, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That is interesting, right? He says, owe no man anything. And then the second part of the verse says, but to love one another. Can you see the connection there? The connection is simply this, that if we love another person, then we do not take his things, right, for granted. If we have borrowed from him, then it is our duty to return. And we return it because it is not ours. Secondly, because we love that person. And we love that person, we return the thing to him. And then, the last phrase says, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, you'll notice the emphasis of biblical writers when it comes to the subject of loving one another. And they will always say that when we exercise love for one another, it is to fulfill the law. John said the same thing if you read the book of 1 John. We are told to love one another. And when we have love for one another, we have done the will of God and we have fulfilled the law. Now again, the law, as I've said early on, is the Ten Commandments. It is not just law in general, but here specifically it refers to the Ten Commandments. And so we are reminded that the 6 to the 10 commandments are summarized, or what Paul used, he says, briefly comprehended in this one statement: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay. And Romans chapter 13 verse 9 is so clear, because in verse 9 he actually listed the 6 to the 10 commandment. Right. I come to the first point which I'll be sharing with you. Now, what is to love our neighbor as ourselves? You know, when we say love our neighbor as ourselves, what is it? And how do we apply it? Now, the English translation, to love our neighbors, obviously this does not merely refer to the people who are living beside us. That means our neighbor, in a sense that this is the family living beside us. The word is used to refer to people whom we have immediate contact with. So, our family members, our relatives, colleagues, classmates, fellow passengers in a bus, in a train, in a plane, or even in a ship. They are our neighbors. So when the Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself, it is mentioned assuming that we do love ourselves. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you love yourself very much, then we have to love our neighbors very much. So I'm saying that when the Lord Jesus said this, as he had quoted from the Old Testament, it is quoted, or it is used assuming that we love ourselves. The question is, do we love ourselves? Now, unfortunately, many people do not even love themselves. Okay. Now, I did have someone who asked this question. He says, is it right for a person to love himself? So, is it right for me to say, I must love myself? Is it right for you to say that you must love yourself? Now, I want to say that it is absolutely correct. Okay? Because if we have not learned how to love ourselves, then how are we going to love others? How do we express love for others if we have not experienced even loving ourselves? So I say that there is nothing wrong with loving ourselves. And we have to, and I think it is biblical that we love ourselves. Unfortunately, many people do not love even themselves. Now, they may be thinking that they are loving themselves, but what they are doing, in actual fact, is causing harm to themselves. So I say that they do not love themselves. Do we have habits in our life? Are they good habits? We should have good habits. But if we have bad habits, then it is necessary that we look at this and have a determination to get rid of them in our lives. Because good habits will not benefit us. And a person who loves himself or herself does not want to keep bad habits in their lives. You know, but I say, there are people who cannot quit the bad habits. And how are they able to love themselves? I mean, drinking alcohol is a common thing here in London. Obviously, the British are able to are more tolerant to alcohol. Right? They don't get drunk with a cup or two, you know, of alcoholic drinks. Huh? But Asians are not so, and particularly Singaporeans. Huh? So they get drunk very easily. But today we have many young people who are not concerned with being drunk. I do not know whether you are familiar with places like the Clarke Quay in Singapore. Now, Clarke Quay is famous because you have all the pubs that you see here in London. And so all the pubs, Irish, English pubs, along the entire stretch of the Boat Quay. So when we talk about the quay, it used to be a wharf that in the past, boats used to come in with goods. Eh? But today, we have no more boats coming into the quay. And so the area becomes an eatery, but we have plenty of pubs. We say Friday is a good time to chill out. So you get many people afterward, they will go to the pub to chill out. And at the end of the night, you'll see some of them get drunk. Man, lady, drunk, and lying on the road. Now, I say these people do not love themselves. If they love themselves, they will consider very carefully the consequence of what they are doing. So that is what I'm trying to say. If we love ourselves, we must kick bad habits. This is important. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. It is a command. Do we love our wives? And then I want you to take note what Paul says. He says, love your wives as you love your own body. It's interesting, alright, that the later clause is used. Love yourself as you love your body. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, obviously, the Bible is telling us that we must love ourselves. And in doing so, we'll be able to love our neighbors. For us, who are husbands, that we will love our wives. So love them as we love our own bodies. But this is difficult. The reason is we are sinners, and by nature we do not love others. We will love ourselves, but we will not love others. Therefore, jealousy, hatred, and evil thoughts are common emotion we have towards others. Sometimes we pass judgment. No, because we are sinners. So I say it's difficult. And the Bible wants us to actually put into practice deliberately. Because by nature, we do not love others. So secondly, we want to see how do we love others? How do we have that love for others? And how do we do it? Now, I said that the second great commandment given by the Lord Jesus is a summary of the fifth, actually, the fifth to the sixth to the tenth commandment. Now, earlier when I read from Romans chapter 13, Paul did not include the fifth commandment. Do you know the fifth commandment? Do you know the fifth commandment? Yes, do you know the fifth commandment? And thy days may be long on earth. Well, very good. He did well. He did well. Okay? He's able to say, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, I want you to see that from the 5th to the 10th commandment, it talks about interpersonal or human relationship. Okay? Father and mother, then thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. You see, it has to do with one person with another person. Alright? So, the keeping of the 5th to the 6th commandment is equated to the 2nd great commandment. And we want to look at it. So when I say, how do I love others? Okay, I should say, number one, we should honor our parents. Because the 5th commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, so that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So, I want to say this. We will not be able to love others if we are not loving our most immediate family members, our father and our mother. On one occasion, a man came to Jesus and asked him this question. How can I have eternal life? Now this story is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 19. We're not going to read it. Okay? It's just this man who came to Jesus, asked how he could obtain eternal life. The Lord said to him that if he wants to enter into life eternal, he says, keep the commandment. And the man asked, which commandment? Then Jesus listed commandment number 5 to number 10. And then, interestingly, if you read the passage in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus added these words. He says, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's very interesting, right? Because that last phrase, love thy neighbor as thyself, is not found in the commandment of Moses. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, he added it. Now, he says, and thou shalt. In fact, that statement can be translated, even thou shalt, which make it as a summary of the commandments that is stated above. Honor your parents, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so on and so forth. So, he says, do this. Alright, and then, the man asks. Now before that, I want to say that when Jesus said, listed the commandment, again he listed parents right on top. Okay. Honor your father and your mother. So it tells us of the imperativeness of loving our parents. Right. Some people treat their friends better than their own family members. Is that what we who are parents felt? Right. Did you say to your grown-up children, you know, you're so good to your friends, look at how you talk to them on the phone, and now see how you are talking to me? Did you experience that? I think probably you do. Okay. And if you have not, then it's a good thing. Right? So we always have this feeling in us that our children are very friendly with their friends and are not friendly with us. Now I want to say this. This idea is wrong. Okay. This is wrong. If our children can be very friendly with their friends and not with us, if they can talk very well and kindly with their friends but they cannot with us, then all the conversation with their friends are very superficial. One reason is this. They can change friends
every day.
Did your children come to you and say, today I have a new friend, I have another best friend? Do you have that? Yesterday someone else was the best friend. Today another person is the best friend. Another day another person is the best friend. Then when the children grows up, they bring back home a girl and says, this is my girlfriend. Then a month later, another girl comes to your house and says, now she is my girlfriend. But they cannot change the parents. Huh? So, what I'm trying to impress upon you is this, that it is only superficial when we see our children talking to their friends so well and so kindly, whereas they are not towards us. It is superficial. Simply because if they don't like that friend, they can change. And I want to say this, if they cannot talk to us properly, right? Now, they can't actually talk to their friends properly. They can't. And if they do not love parents, if I do not love my parents, how can I say I love my friends more than my parents? It is not possible. Because in expressing your love for another person, it must be first expressed to people who are close to us, right? Parents. That is why the Lord puts love, honor thy father and mother as the fifth commandment, which is the first in the second set. Remember, the second set is thou shalt love thy neighbor. Alright? For that set, honor parents is number one. Paul says, a man who had true love works no ill to his neighbor. That means he does not do anything that is evil, ill, harmful. Alright? Anything that is destructive to the neighbor. Romans chapter 13 verse 10 reads, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I said earlier on that, it keeps repeating. When you have love, you are fulfilling the law. Now, the Greek word for ill is kakos. It simply means any evil design with the intention of causing harm to another person. Okay, so if there is love, then there is no evil intention. Alright? Very often I read in the paper, and it happened recently in Singapore. A man said to the wife, I love you. And the same man who said the same word, in a short moment later, I do not know when I read the paper, it's a short moment later, I don't know how long, okay? He used a 6-inch knife, stabbed the wife several times. It's an irony, isn't it? He said to the wife, I love you. But he's in his anger, he stabbed the wife several times. Now, of course, there is a history, there is a context. He's suspicious of the wife having an affair with another man. Well, I'm saying that when you love a person, you will have no evil thoughts, no evil intention of causing harm to the person. So the man, when he says he loves the wife, does not really love the wife. So, Paul says, love worketh no ill. If we want to love our neighbor, we need to practice this. That is to overcome evil with good. Okay. Now, when we talk about neighbors, we are talking about people we come in contact with. Not just the neighbor living. It can be our colleagues. It can be our classmates. It can be our friends in the social circle, you know. And do we like all of them? No. Right? And sometimes, among these circles of friends, we do find enemies. Now, let me put it this way. We should not be the cause of animosity. We should not be the cause of animosity. But it will not be all the time, okay, that people like us. They may make themselves your enemy. You have not done anything wrong. You have not said anything wrong, but they have just decided to be your enemy. And this happened. And you just do not know the reason why that person has made himself or herself your enemy. How should we respond to these people? So Paul says in Romans chapter 12, the last few verses, which then comes into chapter 13, tells us that we are to overcome evil with good. I want to put it simply, that the command is to do good even to our enemies. Okay. You remember that we are to love our enemies, the Lord says in Matthew chapter 5. And John also tells us that this is the evidence that we are the children of God, that we love even our enemies. Now, I know people are going to say, it's difficult. You may even ask, Pastor, do you love your enemy? Now, I want to tell you, it is hard. However hard, the Bible says, it is a command that we love our enemies. In other words, we have to put it into practice, loving our enemy with deliberation. We did not choose. But we love them because this is the command of God. Right. Then another person asked the Lord Jesus, he says, who is our neighbor? You remember the story, the Good Samaritan story? He asked, who then is our neighbor? And the Lord Jesus told him the story of the Good Samaritan. We have a Jew, a man, he's a Jew, on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem, and then he was sprung on by thieves, robbed and beaten, and then left on the wayside to die. Two religious men came by, both were Jews, because they are Jewish religious leader. Alright, one a Levite and another a priest. They came by, and because they are performing religious duties, they cannot touch the injured man. Now, the law did not say they cannot touch the injured man. What did the law say? They cannot touch a dead man. So they only presume that that guy is going to die. And just in case he die, it will disqualify them from performing their religious duty. So they say, no, I cannot touch. Sorry. So they walked by another way and they left the man. Then came the third man. The Bible tells us that he is a Samaritan. When he saw the injured man, he was moved with compassion. He covered his wound, put it on his own animal, took him to the nearest inn, which is a hotel, put him there and asked the innkeeper, look after this man, whatever you spend, when I return, I'll pay you. Now, what is the relationship between the injured man and this Samaritan? Absolutely no relationship. Okay, worse still, the Jews do not like the Samaritans. Right? You remember the woman at the well? She's a Samaritan. In John chapter 2, and Jesus asked for a drink. She said to Jesus, what have I to do with you? I'm a Samaritan. You are a Jew. Why do you ask me for a drink? A Jew would never ask anything from a Samaritan. But the Samaritan did not have animosity towards the injured Jewish man. Instead, he helped him. Okay. And what is in this lesson? Of course, there are many things we can learn. Okay? I think the one lesson in connection to this message is this, that love your enemy. If you should see that your enemy is injured, in need, you are willing to help. Okay, so love worker know you. Now I want to come to the conclusion of tonight's message. What is the reason for loving others? He says, why do I love others in the church? I want to say there's every reason that we should be loving one another in the church. And I want to say there is no reason for anyone in church to say, I hate another person in church. We are children of God, bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the same hope of eternal life, with the same belief that Jehovah God, I'm using Jehovah God as in the Old Testament, as in the true God, as our God. And that is the reason why we should be loving one another and there should be no hate. And then Paul says, or I will say the biblical writers, because not only Paul but John, the Lord Jesus himself says that love is the fulfillment of the law. He says, how do I keep the law? I want to say this. Love is the keeping. Love is the way to the keeping of the law. Why? You want to keep the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Love God. Secondly, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. You see, so I say, love is that criteria for fulfilling the law. Love God, love one another. Do we love one another? I hope we do. But let me just repeat. It is no easy thing to do because we are sinners. Right? We are easily affected by what others say, what others do, you know. Yeah. We can have extreme reaction by these things. So it is a deliberate action of ours to love one another. So I hope to see that in this church, we really love one another. Small, but there's this cohesion, there's this love and care, which can be seen, felt by people who step into this church. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the command to love one another. Help us to love one another. We cannot do it on our own. We want to do it in obedience to your command. Please give us grace, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.